never fails us. Even if we don't know that we don't know that he's there, he's there with us. His presence is always with us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God that he brought the cross for us so that his spirit can reside with us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
thank God for Jamaican Medley. Amen. Sometimes, every once in a while, we gotta go out of America, so I don't know when is jazz can get her Spanish group, and when James comes, he can get his African group. We can get a little lyric flavor, amen? So we just praise the Lord. I'll be that glad to be alive tonight. Amen. And, just one announcement. I don't know, I know my wife was sending out it was a warning letter, I believe, it was from the Homeland Security. Thousands and thousands of UPS uniforms have been purchased, and they weren't from the UPS. So they said, if someone comes to your door saying they're UPS, leave a package. If they don't have identification, and they say UPS will never send someone to your door without a UPS truck, do not accept packages. All right, they purchased thousands and thousands of UPS uniforms, and it wasn't the UPS. All right, so it's just a warning for us, you know, but not just the UPS, we should be more vigilant today than ever before, because the adversary is the adversary, amen, and he wants to catch us sleeping. So we want to be alert. The Bible says be vigilant, be sober, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We're not going to that fear, amen, but we are to watch. Amen. One thing for sure, we should not fear. David said, I was young and now I'm old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. Amen. So we just want to be mindful of that. Also, we thank God for my wife, and thank God for all of you being here tonight. Amen. And if you just watch the news, it's nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. Nothing good. But even in the midst of trouble, the Bible said, 1,000 will fall on thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it won't come nigh thee. He says, only with thine eyes shall I behold to see the reward of the wicked. Amen. So we're not going to be swallowed up in what's going on. Amen. But it's just indications, signs of the time that the Lord is coming back. How many are ready if he comes back? If he calls your name tonight, can you answer the call and say, yes, Lord, to your will? Yes, Lord, to your way? Amen. How many are really praying that prayer that they say, Lord, make me, or prepare me to be a what? Prepare me to be a sanctuary. A sanctuary, that means that's a place where God resides. Amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Let us stand for our scripture reading. Amen. Tonight we're going to Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. And you can hold the 18th chapter of Jeremiah and also Malachi chapter 3. And tonight, our subject is walking in a way that's pleasing to God. Amen. We want to walk in a way that's pleasing.
God.
Can we say it together? Walking in a way that is pleasing to God. That's what it's all about tonight. Walking in a way that's pleasing to God. So we're going to read verses 6 through 16 of Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. And then afterwards we will go a little further. But we want to have a way, our lives, to be full of harmony with the Lord. Amen. If the Lord say go, we go. The Lord says, stop, we stop. And we don't ask him why. Amen? Do we all have it? If we don't have it, it's where? On the screen. Verse 6 read, for thus hath the Lord of hosts said, hew ye down trees, and cast them out against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is wholly oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and woe. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall cruelly glean remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the basket. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, the ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. The word of the Lord is a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old path, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word. The church said,
word of the Lord.
And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So tonight, our subject is walking in a way that is pleasing to God. And in order for us to walk in a way that is pleasing to God, we must walk in a way that is also obedient to God. Amen. To walk in a way that is pleasing to God means we have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit was saying to the church. Jeremiah begins this in the sixth verse. He says, for thus hath the Lord of hosts said, hew ye down trees and cast a mountain against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. Verse 8 says, be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate and a land not inhabited. So God wants them to receive instruction. Amen. In order for us to walk in the way that's pleasing to God, we must receive instruction. Amen. We cannot give God a deaf ear. We cannot walk as we like, but we must do it God's way. How can we do it God's way if we don't receive instruction? So our instruction has to come from who? God. Amen. But he goes on a little further. He said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnants of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gathering into the basket. Israel, basically what he's saying is just like they glean grapes, they go back and get the remnant that they missed. Amen. He said, that's what the enemy is going to do to Jerusalem or to Israel. After they go through once, they're going to come back and get what they didn't finish. Why? Because they would not receive instruction. So tonight, our heart's desire should be, say, Lord, speak to me. And however you want me to do it, I'll do it. You know, how can you be in the will of God if you don't do it God's way? How can we walk in God's will if we don't do it God's way? How can we be pleasing to God if we walk contrary to God? Amen. To be pleasing to God means we have to receive the instruction. Verse 12 said, and their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the land, upon my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. Amen. Before we go there, let's go back up to verse 10 for 1 second, because it's so important. In order to receive instruction for the Lord, we have to have a what? Ear. Amen. You cannot receive instruction for God. And we're not talking about a carnal ear. We're talking about a spiritual ear. to hear what thus saith the Lord. Verse 10 said, to whom shall I speak and give? God warns us. Amen. The Bible says that warning cometh before destruction. Amen. So God always warns us. God never allows us to go into any situation without first warning. But we have to have an ear to hear the warning. Amen. And I'm not talking about a natural ear. We're talking about a what kind of ear? A spiritual ear. Amen. So he goes on to say, behold, their ear is uncircumcised. In other words, their ear is covered. Even though God is speaking, even though God is giving instruction, they cannot hear because their ears are covered. We're talking about a natural ear? No. We're talking about what kind of ear? A spiritual ear. They're uncircumcised, and they cannot. God said, how can you do what I'm telling you to do when you cannot hear me? How can you be obedient to what I'm saying? How can you be obedient to the instruction when your ear is uncircumcised and you won't hearken? So God is speaking. God is drawing. God is moving. God is trying to direct us. Because the Bible says itself, a good man are ordered by the Lord. And the psalmist said, Lord, order my steps through thy word. So how can God order your steps if you can't hear? Y'all with me? God is speaking. God is moving. You say, God said, go here, go there. But you can't hear God. Well, what prevents us from hearing God? When we're consumed with life. When we're consumed with the affairs of life. Because it's when we're distracted. You know, you ever speak to your children and they don't move?
Yeah,
right? Come on, I got children.
Amen.
Right? You ever, Poppy laughs, you know about this, right? You ever speak to your children, you say, you didn't hear me? And they're right in your face and they don't hear you? Right? This is a true saying. I know I've grown up, I got a couple, we didn't get 1, 2, 3. We get time out. No, by the time they finish, we certainly heard. Amen. It's 1, 2, 3 and time out and reasoning just to get that. All we had to do was say something back one time. I remember as a kid, I made one mistake. And I only made it one time. Absolutely. By the time, see, we got switches. I know today that's inhumane. And then you just give, like, you know, like today you go get a little stick. Then you go get the switches and they braid them together. It's like, whoa, are you trying to kill us? Y'all know about that? Oh, y'all know. Y'all don't know nothing about that, right? Y'all know about those switches?
Amen.
And then they have nerve to make us go get our own switch.
Amen.
And if we didn't bring back the white switch, no, maybe somebody else would get one.
Amen.
But they, like the switch couldn't just be one, it had to have all these things coming off of it. And they get ready to put up and we sit there watching them braid all these things together. Right? And it couldn't be no dry switch. Had to be a green one. That's what we got. So when we got that one time, I assure you, you didn't repeat that. I know today is child protection agency and everything else, you know. And it wasn't abuse. Solomon said, if you spare the rod. Right. And then, well, I can go, we're not talking about in the excessive part of it. He said, if thou beatest someone with a rod, they will not die. Right? So the Bible promotes discipline. But, like I said, all we had was one time to hear and not hear. Right? Matter of fact, one time I called myself being real slick. So my dad called me. I'm like, man, I don't want to go to him. So we had these garages when we lived in West Point. So he called me, and I should have just kept going, but I paused for a second because I heard him calling me. Right? So I said, man, I don't want to go in the house yet. So I kept going. When I got to the other side of the garage, he was standing there. I said, I didn't hear you. He said, boy, yes, you did. I should have kept running. But I was running, I was running. He called me, so I paused for a second, and I looked. I said, I just said, like, I didn't hear him. And he was faster than I was. So when I got to the other side of the garage, so So I only made that mistake because the rod of correction drove that foolishness out of me. Right, but what I'm saying, in church, especially those of us that have walked with the Lord for a while, when we hear God's word, we pick and choose if I'm going to be obedient to it. Right? I'm not sure if I'm going to do that. So he said, well, your ears are uncircumcised, you will not hearken unto me. The word of the Lord is made unto them. It's evidence in time where God's word doesn't have the preeminence in people's lives. A lot of people believe, if I do God's word, that's just old fashioned. You ever hear people talk like that? That's the old stuff, right? Young people said, man, that's what y'all used to do. The Bible said Jesus Christ is the same when?
Yes.
Yesterday, today, and forever. Scripture said God has not changed. So people, what they're calling the old way is what used to be called God's way. So now we're bringing in all this new stuff because we don't want to hear from God and we don't want to hearken unto him. Why? Because he said, that old stuff, I don't want to do that. That stuff is a reproach. I'll be embarrassed to do that. I'd rather do whatever it takes to please God.
Amen.
Amen. To be obedient to God, to walk pleasing him. He said, they have no delight. They don't have no delight in God's word. Amen. You know, in other words, we're going to go to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 13 now, and then we're going to come back to this. In other words, they're saying, what difference does it make? I can do it or I can choose not to do it. It's not going to make a difference anyway because they have no delight in God. God's word has become a reproach. You know, you ever see people, there was a time when somebody would do something wrong, their conscience would convict them. And they would go pray and say, God, forgive me, and they wouldn't repeat it because they repented. That repentance is called godly sorrow. Well, today people can supposedly repent and do the same thing over and over and over again. You know what I mean? They have no delight in God's word. Their ears are uncircumcised. It is coming. They can't hear because when you hear God, you know that God will give retribution. When we do wrong. Amen? Y'all gonna be quiet with me, are you? Alright, that's right. I know y'all are thinking, so let's keep going. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 13. Now, he said they have no delight in God's word. They don't hearken to it, they give it a deaf ear to what? God's word. Malachi 3:13 says, your words have been stout against me, says God. Said, wait a minute. Your words are against me. I'm trying to walk pleasing to God. How can I walk pleasing to God and your words are against me? It's like if you are in a relationship, whether it's a friendship or a marriage, and some of these examples you don't like to use, but these are hypothetical. So they ain't for real. Can we say hypothetical? Alright, but it's real. In a person's face, oh, I love you, you're the best of this, behind their back, and say, they ain't no good. If I had my way, I wouldn't even be around them. Right? That's a word when they are stout against them. In their face, they say one thing, behind their back, they say another. That's called being a what?
Sowing
discord, right? Because you say one thing in the face, but you do something behind their back. Now, I guess today's message, they call it being two-faced, right? Two faces, you know what two-faced means? One face says one thing for one person and something else. Well, that's what makes it two-faced. Well, God said, your words are stout against me, yet you say, what have we spoken so much? God is speaking to his people. He's telling them his words are stout, their words are stout against him. They say, well, what do we say? What did I say? What did I say was so bad? You know, like you ever had one of those situations where you're dealing with somebody and you finish, they say, well, I didn't say nothing, so why are you all upset? That could never happen, y'all. I'm just saying it happens. I know it happens to me a right, I'm going to use myself as an example. All right, she said, how'd you get this out of that? That ain't what I said. It is what you said. Right? But you're trying to portray it a different way. So God said, you're saying one thing, you say your words against me. They say, now, does God know all things?
Yes.
Right? If God says, you've spoken against me, don't question him. That's when you say, Lord, forgive me. But they had the nerve in God's face to say, what have we said against thee? Right? That's when you don't have an ear to hear from. When you begin to question or to reason with God that knows all things like that, that shows that your ears have been hardened and you cannot hear. Amen. Verse 14 says, ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? He said, what good did it do? Some people say, well, whether I do God's will or not, don't make a difference. Whether I serve God the right way or not, don't make a difference. God said, wait a minute, don't speak like that against me. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because God's word is true. And God, don't, when you start speaking like that, that shows you have no delight in God nor his word. When you start speaking like, well, if I do it, it doesn't matter. And if I don't do it, what difference does it make? God said, it makes a difference. And you're speaking against me. You're saying that I'm like a man and that I'm I. God said, you're saying like a man, I'll change my man. He said, I'm not a man that I should lie. Neither am I the son of man that I will repent or change my mind because I'm God. But when you start giving God a deaf ear and doing what you want to do in spite of, God said, you're speaking against me. Praise the Lord. Verse 15 says, and now we call the proud. God said, no, this is the indicator when you know someone is going the wrong direction. The very thing that should be dishonorable and disgraceful, you are giving them an applause. He said, you call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are even elevated and set up. Why? Because you're not delighting in God's word. Amen. If I have a choice who I want to be in charge of something, I'm not going to, and it's a spiritual situation, I'm not going to choose someone that I know is messed up because I know they're going to get me ahead, but I'm going to choose what is right.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to elevate someone for pride's sake. I'm not going to elevate someone that's wrong and wicked if I have my choice. But Israel were doing, they were elevating all the wrong people because they were saying it doesn't matter. Amen. When you don't walk pleasing to God, you walk in your own way, you're telling God it doesn't matter. And I'm going to walk my way, and guess what? You're not going to do anything about it. That's basically what they're saying. It's like pointing a finger in God's face and saying it doesn't matter. I will do like I want to do. Amen. They that tempt God are even delivered. So these are indicators that a person does not have an ear to hear from God. Why? Because everything that God is against, they are promoting. When you're not pleasing God, everything that God say don't do, you do it and say, God's not going to do anything about it because of his grace. Right? So great God's grace is sufficient. Yes, God's grace is sufficient, but you're not supposed to tempt the Lord thy God. And we're not supposed to presume upon his mercies. Amen. Let's go to Psalm chapter 19 real fast. Let me give you a verse in Psalm 19. We're not supposed to presume on God's mercies. When you give God a deaf ear, when you're saying what God says doesn't matter, then we basically are saying, God, I'm going to do what I want to do and what you're going to do about it. Amen. We're going to start in verse 12. Let's start at verse 9 of this, all right? Because we're dealing with a reverence, a fear for God, a ear to hear from God, amen? Amen? Verse 9 reads, the fear of the Lord is, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring. Whenever you do right before God, he says it's clean. And it's going to endure how long? Forever. The judgments of the Lord are and righteous So God is never going to misjudge you. Somebody say, I've been doing for God all these years and nothing has happened. I'm just wasting my time. God's judgments are true. And they are righteous. But God did not change our present circumstances because he knew there was some underlying issues in our heart. So God said, I'm not going to change it, but be assured my judgments are true. And my judgments are righteous all together. He said, more to be desired of they than gold. God's ways should be desired above gold. We talk about whose way again? God's way. Amen. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the moreover, for by them is thy servant. When you listen to God's word, when you have ear to hear from God, the servant is what? Warned. But when we give God a deaf ear, we miss the warning. A lot of some people say, well, why am I in this condition? Because God was speaking. But you gave God a deaf ear. And then when you get all messed up and in a situation, you point the finger at God. God said, no, I was warning you all along. I was sending you a warning, but you did not heed the warning because you gave me a deaf ear. Amen. I was trying to get your attention. I was trying to tell you, you're going the wrong direction and to change. But you gave me a deaf ear. You know what a deaf ear is? I'm going to use myself as an example. We were going somewhere one time. I was determined to go my way. And my wife kept saying, no, I think that's the way. I said, no, this is the way. So she kept saying, no, this is the way. But I gave her a deaf ear. Guess what? We went up in the wrong place. Right? Because I did not heed the warning. I'm using myself. Y'all can say amen. I don't mind y'all saying amen. But God gives us warnings when we give God a deaf ear because we want to do it our way. And then when the situation gets full blown into a mess, we say, God, why didn't you warn me? God said, wait a minute. Before you even start moving, I was warning you. But your ears were closed and you could not hear me. Then when you got in the midst of the mess, you came to me. God said, I could have spared you all that grief if you would have just hearken. Amen. So tonight, when they walk in the way that's pleasing to who? How can you please God if you walk contrary? Right? How do you please God if you walk contrary? So he goes on to say, verse 11 says, moreover, by them thy servant is what? By heeding God's word and in the keeping of them, there is. Don't let the devil in hell. Don't let anybody tell you, say, if I do God's will, it ain't going to matter and I won't get anything for it. He said, if you just keep them, there is what kind of reward? Honor God. Do right for God. Don't matter what anybody else does. Because when you seem like you're getting a blessing, when you're doing something deceitfully and dishonest, that's not a blessing. And if we remember in the beginning of Jeremiah, he talked about they will overcome or consume with covetousness. That word means greedy. Right? They will consume with trying to get all that they could in place of God. Now, we have to have money to live because the Bible says a man don't work, a man don't eat. So you got to work. But working cannot take the preeminence above God. God's word has to be verse. So God is speaking. God is directing. God, because in his infinite wisdom, God sees way down the line. Now we look from day to day, but God looks further down the line. He said, wait, you know what? In this your year, you see things this way. He said, but I'm looking 5 years down the line. And I'm seeing the way you're going to wind up in is danger. So God said, I don't want you to go that way, so I'm going to stop you. But how do you stop me? Through his word. God stops us how? Through his word. God ordered ourselves how? Through his word. Amen. But then God ordering ourselves to try to stop us. Read Psalm 119, verse 133. It says, order my steps through thy word. Right. God orders our steps through his word, but how can he order our steps if we don't have an ear to hear from God? Amen. So verse 12 says, who can understand his error? Cleanse thou me from... In other words, in our own lives, we look pretty good. But there's some stuff called secret faults. There's some hidden issues down in our souls. So the psalmist realizes, and now, if I keep your word, I know God's going to bless me. He said, but then when I look at me, I don't know about you, a lot of times I look at myself and say, Lord, please help me to come up. I don't like stuff I see in me. I don't need somebody else to tell me. I can see it. Right? So the psalmist said, there's some stuff way down on the inside I need God to cleanse me from. You know, this really means I'm getting ready to do some, there's some stuff you get ready to do you don't even know about it. It's called secret faults. So the psalmist said, Lord, before I make the mistake, cleanse thou me of secret fault. Now we talk about, we went over earlier, we're presuming God's word. Just presume on God's mercy, amen? So verse 13 says, keep back thy servant from presumptuous means you just keep doing the wrong thing and don't care. Because you're presuming on God's mercy, because we know God is merciful. If I do it, God always forgives me anyway. So he said, keep back thy servant from what kind of sin? Presumption said, you know what's wrong, but you're going to do it anyway. I'm walking in the way that's pleasing to God. Lord, I can't please you if I'm walking contrary to you. So he said, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. Let them not have. What happened? The more you presume on God and you do things your way, do wrong, that situation begins to dominate or have the dominion. When you get used to walking in a way that's contrary to God, and you just presume, well, I know I should do this, I know I should do that, but I just can't help myself, I'm going to do it anyway. He said, no, that's presumptuous sin. To do wrong and know it's wrong, that's presuming on God's mercies. He said, now the more you presume, the more that situation will dictate to you instead of you controlling it. He said, then it will have what over you? Dominion. Dominion means that situation that you should have overcome, that situation that you should have given heed to God for, that situation you knew was wrong and you did it anyway, it is now controlling you. Amen? You with me? He said, you can't presume on God's mercies and think that's pleasing to God. Amen? And woe be unto God's people. They know they're doing wrong. Listen. A lot of times we like to make up excuses. God, you can understand. God said, no, don't presume on my mercies. If you're wrong, you're wrong. I don't care. Anything you do can't clear it up. One thing Bishop told us when we first started the church, he said, remember this. He said, you can never start off wrong and end up right. You can't start off wrong and end up right. So a lot of times we say, you know what, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'll fix you later. Absolutely, you will not fix it. Right? You can't start wrong and end up right. Because there's a right way to do the right thing, and there's a wrong way to do the right thing. So you don't want it to have dominion over you, over me. Then shall I be, if you don't presume, and you don't allow the situation to control you, then will I be upright? He said, and I will be what? Innocent of the great transgression. You know, when you presume on God's mercies, you're doing wrong, you just keep doing it away. That's a great transgression. Right? And the Bible says, every sin and every transgression receives a just recompense or reward. Somebody said, why do I keep messing up? Because you keep presuming. Right? You keep taking God for granted. You keep doing things your way and say, well, God, you're going to fix it. No, that's a transgression. And then when you transgress means to go what? Against. God said no, you say I'm going to do it anyway. God said that's not a way that's pleasing me, you say I'm going to do it anyway. That is a transgression. And because God's word cannot be changed, whatsoever you sow, you have to also. Because God won't be mocked. So a lot of people are just messing up and doing everything and say, God, may you bless. And God said, I can't bless you. Because if I bless you when you're messing up, then my word will be honored. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all looking at me kind of funny. That's right. All right. So he said, you want to be innocent of the great transgression. He said, you know, the only thing I can say is let the words of my
mouth
and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So when we presume on God, when we willingly go contrary to God, and we say, God, it doesn't matter. God said, that is a transgression. To presume on God's mercies is a transgression. I've known people through the years. I got saved in 1976. So that means I've been saved for, let's say, about 20 years, right? Y'all come with me? I'm just trying to test y'all's math skills. If I got saved in 1976, that means I've been saved for how long? 39 years. I've been saved longer than some of y'all old. I can double some of y'all ages and triple some. But I've been saved for those years, and I've seen people forever say, yeah, I know that's wrong, but you know, it's just me. It doesn't have to be you. Just surrender. Release, right? Give up on yourself. Well, that's called having a deaf ear to hearing from God. Now let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 6. All right, back to Jeremiah chapter 6. He said God's word was a reproach to them. The children of Israel had no delight in God. Amen. And he goes on, look for, let's just drop down to verse 13. All right, we're talking about walking in a way that's what?
Pleasing.
Walking in a way that's pleasing to yourself.
God.
Walking in a way that's pleasing to others.
God.
Walking in a way that's pleasing to who? To God. Before we go there, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're trying to walk in a way that's pleasing to God, not to man, not to anyone else. We're going to Ephesians chapter 6, I believe it's verse 5. Hold on one second. I don't want to do what I want to do anymore. My way has not done anything but made my situation that much worse. All right, so let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5. Do we all have it? If it's not, we have it where? On a screen. Amen. Verse 5 reads, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto. So we're doing the right thing as unto who?
Christ.
And you say, well, I'm going to do the right thing as long as you're watching me. We teach her to give that. I'm going to do what I want to do. Right? We're doing the right thing as unto who?
Christ.
Not with what?
Christ.
I service as.
Jesus.
Stop trying to please men to dishonor God. Right? So you do the right thing when somebody's watching. But when they don't, you're not doing this unto Christ. He said, not with I service as men pleasers, but as service of
Christ.
Service of who?
Christ.
Doing the will of God from the
heart.
Amen. We're talking about walking in a way that's pleasing not to men, but a way that's pleasing to God. Amen. The scripture, I believe, is in St. John's, the 12th chapter, or Luke, the 12th chapter, says that the Pharisees believed on Jesus, but they would not confess him because they were afraid of the people. The Pharisees believed in Jesus, but they would not confess him because of the people. And more than that, the reason they wouldn't confess him because they did not want to be cast out of the synagogue. So they say, if you confess Jesus, we're going to kick you out. Right? That's why the man that was born blind, when Jesus healed him and they went to his parents, they said, well, is this your son? They said, yes. They said, well, how did he receive his sight? He said, they were afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue. They said, we don't know. They knew, but they were afraid of the people. If ever there was a time in America and in the church, people are more afraid of people than God. Amen? We need to have a God conscience. Listen, I'm not going to let you do anything to violate my God conscience. If you're going to violate my God concept, you got to excuse me. You might be my best friend, but I can't give it up for Jesus. Amen. Years ago, when I first got saved, I will tell this story, and I will not use name to protect the innocent.
Amen.
Some of you may know the innocent, and some of you may not know the innocent. But I cannot describe that. We went, my best friend, one of my best friends from college, we went on a trip in a commercial vehicle. And neither one of us had commercial license. So when the state trooper pulled us over because our stuff that we were carrying wasn't secure and safe, the state trooper asked a question and the person began to lie. I said, whoa, I'm not going to jail. I said, sir, I stopped right there. Best friend or not, college for three years together, however long we were in college. I said, sir, we don't have license. We don't have commercial license. We were doing this for something. And I didn't go, y'all just wanted all the details. I can tell y'all, man. Make it juicy, though. I ain't making it juicy. I'll just tell you like this. But the person began to lie. And I was sitting there, I said, we're saved. Yes, we're speaking in tongues. Yes, we baptized in Jesus' name, but we're lying? I said, wait a minute. I said, God ain't gonna put me in jail. Lying. So I said, sir, we're doing this for the church and we don't have a license, but we were just doing the church a favor. The guy said, man, because you're honest, he said, no, I'll just give you all a warning. Thank God.
Amen.
But the person started lying. So what am I gonna do? Sit there and keep my mouth shut, knowing they're lying? Right? I said, you know what? I ain't never been in jail before. I ain't about to go to jail now. My father told us, he said, boy, you got my last name. Don't you ever shame me. That's what he told us. He said, you carry my last name. Don't you ever shame me. Don't you ever come call me, tell me you got to come get me out of jail. Right? So he left that mark on us, so we knew not to shame our Father. If we don't shame our earthly Father, how much more can we not shame our heavenly? Well, how do you shame your heavenly Father? When you know something's not true and you lie, right? And even if you don't lie, you know somebody is lying, and you go along with the lie. The psalmist said you're just as guilty because you're a partaker in the sin. And the Bible says be partaker in no man sin. We're talking about walking in the way that's what? Pleasing to God, not pleasing to men. Best friend or not. In the end, where are you going to spend eternity? With your best friend or with God? So we ought to do the things that's pleasing to God. Amen. Now let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 6. Amen. Tonight, whatever it takes, Lord, just order my steps. And silent is consent. If you know someone is doing wrong, you say, what did you do? You say, I didn't do nothing. It was none of my business. It's wrong. I'm going to tell myself again. Can I tell myself again, wife? Tell myself or don't tell myself? I'm telling. You know what I mean. So y'all can see I ain't perfect anyway. I just want to see what you're going to say. I think you're going to say tell it. You said no, but you mean yes. Well, we've been married for 37 years. I'm supposed to be able to read between lines. Years ago, my mother was sick. It's kind of really sad. My mother was sick, so my brother and I went to Georgia to visit her. And in her church, there was a whole lot of stuff that wasn't going on right. And some kind of way, my mother got drawn into the middle of this stuff that was wrong. When I went down, so I went to Georgia to visit her. So I said, Lord, I am not getting involved. I did not come all the way to Georgia to get involved with somebody else's stuff. I came to help my mom out. I ain't come down here to straighten out nothing. Went to bed that night, woke up the next morning, our man was gone. I was like, wait a minute. My brother Joe said, where's the man? I said, it's right there. He said, no. I said, man, I'm going to show you. I said, somebody stole our van? Literally stole the van. I said, wow. So when I got some counseling, I said, well, the problem, it automatically knew what it was. They said, the problem is not in New York. Whatever you're going to view is in Georgia. So you know what I did? I went to my mom. Mom, what you doing is wrong. I said, they got you caught up in this. It was a really one of those situations. It really was friends and close people were going contrary to what the church wanted. And I knew it. But I said, I didn't come down here for that. I just came down here to see how she was doing. So when the van got stolen, I said, Lord, you know I can speak. You know, a lot of times we say, Lord, show me something else. Lord, don't you show me anything else. We can't even get back home right now. We're supposed to leave in a couple of days. So I called her pastor up, and the pastor had visited her in the hospital or anything. And when I called, he said, well, who are you? I said, let me just tell you the story. I said, I didn't come down here for this. I'm from New York, but there's a lot of stuff going wrong, and I know, but I was silent. Didn't say a word. So he said, well, come over here, at least let's talk. So I talked, I said, listen, you come to the hospital, you pray for my mom, we're gonna get my mom straight. We're gonna get my mom out of this mess. You know, so he came, him and some of the deacons, they came and prayed, and she got out of there. But the problem was, even though I knew it was wrong, I wasn't gonna say nothing. But when the van was stolen, God says, if you don't want to do it on your own, he said, I'm going to help you. A lot of times we get in a situation, we say, well, it ain't none of my business. I ain't going to say a word. And you know, who am I to correct my mom anyway? Right? She's been beating me all my life. Whipping after whipping after whipping. How am I going to correct her? But it wasn't a matter of mother, son. It was a spiritual situation, right? Spirituality always supersedes relationships. Spirituality and being pleasing to God always supersedes relationships. And that's why my brother Joe said, hey, is there anything else you need to get right? We need to go home. But I told him, I said, yeah, I said, no, we got it all out. So we met with everyone. Actually, that's how Bishop Franklin and I got close. Bishop Franklin, right? So well, that's how we got close, because I went there not to get involved, but it wasn't a mother-son situation. It was a spiritual situation, because she was walking contrary, and her soul was at stake. So how many times do we keep silent when somebody's soul is at stake? Praise the Lord. We got more people than we start. Y'all gotta need to say at least ouch. I'm telling on me. So y'all should be able to, I ain't gonna say no more, wife. I got enough looks. No, I don't like you. She ain't like that. She ain't like that. But I'm just saying, and on the serious side, too many of us have placed our relationships above someone's soul. We won't tell them something to help them spiritually, because now I didn't say they're all nasty and obnoxious, right? Because I went to her and I just said, Mom, the situation, it was a simple situation too. I'm gonna tell you how simple it is. You say, well, how could this be wrong? One of the groups, you know, I deal with this. You know, okay, one of the groups decided they wanted to have what they call a chain prayer. And they were praying like all from morning to night. And the pastor said, wait a minute. I think God wants you to pray. You know, I don't think he wants you to get all the rest of these people involved in the prayer. This is your situation, because he knew some stuff that other people didn't know. So he said, well, I don't think this is a particularly good thing. So he made the announcement, I do not want the church involved with this person's chain prayer. On the phone. It was on the phone chain prayer. So everybody got involved in the chain prayer. I can't put this on the internet because they might hear this. And I might put it on because they need to hear it. So they got involved with the chain prayer, and the people weren't even working. They were going to work sleeping when they're supposed to be working because they're doing all this chain praying. And my mom got caught up in it also, and that's what it was. It wasn't speaking evil, but they were disobedient to a definite command because this pastor knew something that they did not know. And we found out later, right? But what I'm saying is, sometimes people will use spiritual stuff to try to hide their disobedience to God. Don't you get involved with it. Don't follow it. If it's against God and against what the church or what everybody else is doing, don't do it, because God will hold you accountable. Amen? Good enough, sir. Let's keep moving. Y'all want me to keep moving? Verse 13 of Jeremiah chapter 6 reads, from the least of them even until the greatest of them, from the who? Least to the greatest is given to, all they want to do is make money. Not God. There's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. But they were loving money more than God. So say they were given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone was dealing the issue where they weren't honest. They weren't being truthful. Now the people were messed up with the money, but the people that were supposed to be leading the prophets to the priests, they weren't honest. So God is trying to get their attention. Amen? Let's get down to verse 13. Well, actually, this is so true to verse. Let's go to verse 14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace. When there was no peace. They were projecting something that was not God. The scripture said, when you have peace and safety, then beware. Right? Because what? Sudden destruction cometh upon them. Right? So they were trying to say it was peace when God didn't say peace. So and they had a mind that was at ease. But the fact was there really was no peace. Amen? Verse 15 say they were they ashamed when they committed? Amen. When you get to the point that you can do wrong and it doesn't bother you, it's bad. They committed what? Abomination. Nay, they were not ashamed, neither could they didn't even have a nerve to get, you know, have a spirit or face to be ashamed. They didn't blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down. God said they shall be cast down. He said that there is a remedy. There is a way to correct all of these errors. He said, stand ye in the what? Way that sin asks for thee. Lord, just take me back to where I first believed. I don't need anything new. One of the things our bishop in Georgia said, he said, everybody keep talking about the new stuff. He said, all we have to do is just do the old stuff. He said, you don't have to have the new stuff. He said, why do we have to do anything new when the old stuff has worked all these years? But everybody's trying to get a new revelation, a new stuff. He said, stay here, we see an answer for the old path. Where is the what?
Good
the good way. And when you find it, you shall what?
Walk
therein, and you shall find
rest.
So he gave them a remedy. But what did they do?
They said, we
shall
not walk there.
They said, we're not going to do it. Right? Because they were so set on doing things their way. And then close, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 18. We know this is when Jeremiah went down to the potter's house. Amen. And God is showing Jeremiah, he's doing a work on the potter's wheel. And God says to them, he said, cannot I do this which is done unto Israel? Amen. And the people says they just did what they wanted to do. But let's just go to verse 5 of Jeremiah chapter 6. Do we all have it? It says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. And at what instance I speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I pronounce turn from their, he said, if they just repent. God said, I've already said this is what I'm going to do. He said, but if you will repent, he said, then I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, and if it do evil in my sight, that it what obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you, returning them from everyone from his evil. God said, I want you to change from your evil. God said, I'm telling you, I purpose to do evil against you, but I need you to repent. I need you to change. He said, make your ways and your doing good. He said, don't just go through the motions. He said, I need your ways to be good, and then I need your works, your doings, to be good. Amen? And they said, you must be kidding us. Who are they talking to? God. Right? God is trying to get them. He's listening. I'm telling you, this is what I'm going to do against you, because you're doing wrong. You're doing evil. You're not repenting. You have changed. He said, I'm telling you, this is what I'm going to do. They tell God, you can just forget it. You know what they say? In other words, you know how y'all like to say, he said, you can forget it, buddy. That's what it really means. They said, they tell God, they said, wait a minute, there ain't a chance we're going to do what you're telling us to do. This is God's people. God is trying to warn them, and they try to help them, and they're going to tell God there is no hope. In other words, they say, you're wasting your time. And then they go on to say in the latter part of the verse, but we will, God forbid, if God is sending a warning and trying to get us to change, how are we going to tell God, you're wasting your time? And then we're going to do what we want to do. He said, we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard of such a, even the heathens won't do that. He said, but the virgin, my daughters, my people, they're going to speak like that against me. Say, ouch. Because why? They didn't want to repent. They didn't want to change. They did not want to hear what God was saying. So even though God spoke to them, they said, hey, watch me. I'm going to do what I want to do. He said, we're going to walk in our own ways. Amen? It says, verse 14, will a man leave the store of Lebanon which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that came from another place be forsaken? Because my people, God is trying to get people attention. We're trying to walk in the way that's pleasing to God. How can you walk in the way that's pleasing to God when you forget God? Right? He said, my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their ways. The ancient past, he said, ask for the what? The old past. We got not this new stuff. Not what everybody's doing. Just let God be God like he used to be. He hasn't changed. Amen. The ancient path to walk in a way not cast up. And our last verse we're going to go to is We just want to, anybody want to have a God conscience and retain God in their conscience, in their heart? Let's go to Psalms chapter 10. This is our last scriptural verse we'll go through. It's in Psalms chapter 10. I want to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. Not just when people are watching, but when I'm all by myself. When I'm not around the saints. When I'm not around anybody else, I still want to do what is right. Amen. I don't want to compromise what I believe to be pleasing to men and dishonor to God. Whenever we please a person over God, we dishonor God. We want to honor God. Amen. Let's go to verse 3 of this 10. We'll read verses 3 and 4. It says, for the wicked boast of his heart. People are so boastful. All they talk about is what they want. This is what I'm going to do. God called them what? Wicked. Amen. Even the Bible said, we shouldn't say, today I'm going to do this, tomorrow I'm going to do that. It said, if the Lord will, I will do this and I will do that. But the wicked said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to boast of my heart's desire and bless it the what? How are you blessing the greedy? Is nothing wrong with money, but don't let money take the preeminence. Some people will lie, steal, and cheat just to have money. And then God is dishonored. If you're going to get it honestly. If you're going to get it the right way. Right? Don't cheat, don't steal, and don't lie to get money, because that dishonors God. Do you know God watches everything? God monitors everything. God monitors you. If you're supposed to be at work and you're in the closet sleeping for an hour, that's called stealing. Right? So I said, don't mess with my job. Don't mess with my job. Yes. If you can trust, if you can't, a guy told me this once, and I never forgot, it always left an impression of mine. He said, if you can't trust the church and the saint, who can you trust? Right?
Amen.
So, yeah, this is hypothetical, but you know, when we used to work, you used to get 2 half-hour breaks. Right? I think a break at 10 o'clock, and then you get lunch break, some a half an hour, some an hour. So you get an hour, hour and a half. If you got 4 hours of break, you're cheating.
Jesus.
Right? If the whole rest of the employees are doing it, are they saved? Right? So if you're supposed to work up until a certain time and you're sleeping, you're not working. Right? I mean, everybody, even me, even when I was supposed to be working and praying, sometimes I would doze off. But it's the exception and not the rule. But if you're getting paid for whatever you're supposed to be doing at work, and you say, because nobody else see me, I'm going to do this, that's cheating. That's not honest. And though the work, though the people, the boss might not see you, guess who sees you? God sees you. You know, we should place a premium on doing what's right in the eyes of God. And don't worry about men. Okay, let me get to verse 4. I'm going to finish this up in verse 4. I just had to touch on that money for a minute, because it says the Lord abhorreth that greed for money. I mean, he hates it. Right? If you're supposed to do a job, do the job. Right? However you're supposed to do it, do it. As a child of God, we're supposed to do a job to the best of our ability. I was thinking early, I don't even know how this stuff comes to my mind. When I was a kid, we had a lady, and I'm not giving you names, but she was saved, and she was pastoring and preaching and everything. And I just left it. I was working on a job that she was working on. This lady did everything wrong. Seriously. And the boss came in, was screaming and yelling at her, and I'm like, well, boss, she is a preacher and stuff. But then I looked at the lady, I said, but you were wrong. Yeah. If you're saved and you're preaching and telling everybody else what to do, why don't you just follow the rules? on the job. I mean, some of the stuff is just elementary stuff. When I was a child, I was only like 12 or 13, and I was on the job, and they would get screaming and yelling at her because she kept doing things her way. And the boss kept saying, how many times do I have to tell you, you can't do it that way? But the preacher said, woo, you know, and doing it over. And I don't even know what made that come to my mind. And no, you don't know the story. You know a lot of it, you know, it just came to me today, but I'm saying, she was a preacher and made her kids do everything right because I was one of her kids' best friend. But when we went to work, she did everything wrong. I said, how does a child of God do that? Right? All right. Well, just remember God, he said, okay? Verse 4 reads, The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not even seek after God. He said, God is not at all in his thoughts, as we all said. In order for you to be righteous with God, you gotta seek God, and you have to keep God in your thoughts. If a boss, I think one thing that Justice, one of the coaches said, they said, you know what, we wish we had more kids in our school like him. The guy says, he was talking to me, I didn't realize he was talking to me, until he said, hey, did you hear me? I was like, oh, I heard you, but I didn't hear you. I said, were you talking to me? He said, we need more kids in our school like that. He said, most of these kids, we can't trust them looking at them. He said, we're watching them and we can't trust them. He said, we don't even have to watch this kid to know we can trust them.
Amen.
You know, isn't that the kind of reputation we should have in life?
Amen.
The boss should say, you know what? Everybody else got to keep up with. But I don't have to worry about you. Because you're a child of God. And because you're a child of God, I know you're going to give me your best. Even if I don't see you, I know you're going to do what's right. We want to walk in the way that's pleasing to God. You cannot please God doing it your own way, as the elders, the altar workers come forward, the evangelists firstly.
Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.